This is the Big Biz Show. What's so funny about investing money, you ask?
Play ball.
The Big Biz Show with Russ and Sully hope to answer that. Top-rated insightful financial analysis. If you're looking for insightful financial perspective on key market strategies, keep looking. I told you, this is the Big Biz Show. Hello. This is Russ and Sully.
Hey there.
Hey.
Now we got our TV audience and our radio audience at the same time. Great
That's
to have you
hard
on
to do.
110 million broadcasts home strong on television, 150 radio stations. iHeartRadio, the number one app, the number one media entertainment company in the world is iHeartMedia, of which we are a part of. Mm-hmm. And then iHeartRadio, of course, is the biggest podcast curator in the country.
Okay.
And so we're regular broadcast. You know, we're on terrestrial radio. If you're in your car across the country, you can hear us. But we're also now featured as a we're going to be featured in August as a podcast. And then soon to be on SiriusXM.
We've got to be a good podcast compared to some of the podcasts.
I mean, well, podcasting is for broadcasters who couldn't make it. It's true. Yeah. I mean, look, there's some great podcasts out there. But when I hear somebody come and say, hey, I got a show.
You're right, yeah.
It's like, okay, you're no more a broadcaster than me, than I'm a NASCAR driver because mm-hmm. I've got a, what do you got going on with your shirt?
I don't know what happened.
You're going to fly away in a minute.
Oh, this thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Something's
going to
fly.
Well, this is my new clip-on.
Oh.
I'm not sure how to use them yet. Because the last time I wore one, I was 10. So I think you put it, and then you snap it, and then you got to do something with this.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
All right, let's start the show now. Just re-rack.
I was just
I'll
looking.
Come in. I'll come in.
So what I'm saying is you know, having a microphone doesn't make you a broadcaster any more than me having a fast car makes me a NASCAR driver.
Right.
But my attitude does. And the beer between my legs.
Hey, people put those earbuds in and they just look into a camera or just start talking, and that's a podcast, apparently. Is there a
that's
time
a
limit?
I think that's a vodcast.
Or whatever. But
a podcast is when they...
Voice only.
Yeah, that's voice only.
Okay.
And vodcast...
And
is a video thing.
Can a TED Talk be longer than 8 minutes?
Yeah, no, I don't think it's I think they're more. I think they're 16 minutes, aren't they?
I don't know.
I love watching TED Talks.
Yeah, there's some good ones.
Can I just tell you
the point is to get in, get out.
Do you know who would be a great TED Talker? I'm not kidding when I say this. Karen Malik, the CEO of BiomeGrow. I've said this on the air before when he's not been on the air. That would be a guy that I would like to see a TED Talk. TED Talk. Because here's a guy who's comes from UBS, Payne Weber, Morgan Stanley. First research analyst in North America to talk about cannabis, but that would be a guy. But let me just tell you before I get to Karen, because he's going to be on the air with us.
Okay.
I don't know if you can even hear me talking, but I watched a TED Talk with Sting the other day. Download it.
Really?
It talks about how he writes songs and how he got in a funk for the last 7 years and couldn't write anything.
Right.
And how he got out of it. It's amazing. He's got a big, of course, he has a guitar with him. He has his original guitar that was given to him as a kid.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's about this big.
Yeah, mine was stolen.
Little tiny guitar.
Yeah. Anyway, that's interesting.
Well, what does that have to do with you?
It all comes back to me. It's the Russ and Sully Show. Anyway.
Really?
I'm Russ.
I didn't know
anyway,
that.
It's the...
But no, it's fantastic. So if you can Google the TED Talk.
That's hard to do, to break down how you create
well, what was interesting is he's like, look, you know, I had all the success and this and that. And yeah, and you think that it just comes easy. And you know what? I've been in front of hundreds of thousands of people. I'm thinking, oh, look at lucky me. And suddenly he was dry as a bone.
He wrote a lot, though.
With respect for stuff. And I'll give you the secret because he tells it in the first, like, 1 minute.
Yeah.
He went back to the town he was born in that he tried to stay away from his whole life.
What?
He spent his whole life trying to get out. He spent his childhood trying to get out of there.
Oh, yeah.
He went back there, and it made him write stuff.
See?
It was fantastic.
Roots.
Karen Malik is the CEO of BiomeGrow. BiomeGrow is a company we've been following here on the Big Biz Show, and to some... acclaim because of all the people that have contacted us every time Karen's on the air. Of course, they trade under the stock symbol BIO in Canada, but here in the U.S. it's BIOIF. They are publicly traded, and they're what's called dual listed. They have heritage brands underneath their umbrella called Biome Conscious Cannabis, and they are an integrated grower, processor, and seller of cannabis in Canada. And of course, they are they're sharing their wisdom on what we could be doing here in the U.S. as an investment vertical. And more and more every day, you look at MarketWatch, look at Inc. Magazine, look at Wall Street Journal. There's an article every single day about the cannabis industry.
Finally,
and it's happening here. And talking to us today from Canada is Karen. Karen, how are you, sir?
Very well, thank you. How are
Has
you?
Anybody ever asked you to do a TED Talk?
TED Talk time.
You have. You must have been asked before.
It's come out once or twice, but
you should do it. You would be fantastic at it. You're the perfect guy in obviously an industry that's that raises some eyebrows still, but yeah. you are from. You know, you're from the New York Stock Exchange sort of Wall Street ilk management
and
research in particular. Yeah, you add some street cred to this thing. I think you should do it. You were the first research analyst to publish a report on the sector. What has changed since you wrote that first report? Has anything changed, or is it sort of everything sort of come true?
Well, a lot's changed. I mean, small details here and there in terms of supply, demand, structural inefficiencies that weren't predicted. But ultimately, I think what's really changed for the better is most of society, at least in North America, have come on board and embraced cannabis as, you know, as a relatively safe adult substance to have before you even get into the medical side of things. And the rest of the world is coming online with medical programs all over the place, whether it's Western Europe, Asia, Africa, wherever you look. So that was expected. It's actually moved quicker than we thought. And so it's quite exciting.
What is going to lead the vertical? Will it be medicinal? Or will it be recreational, or will it be even? Because obviously, I don't think we know everything there is to know about the medicinal side of things.
I think medicinal will lead.
I think so, too. Well, I mean, overall, don't you think, in the CBD side?
I think so. I think outside of North America, when you look at the rest of the world, they're all coming out like medical programs and therapeutic programs, not recreational per se. So most of the ink that you're going to get from a media standpoint or in terms of what people are going to be reviewing are medical out there. Which is where you've got your billions and billions of people, right? So I think whether it's ultimately going to be bigger on medical or recreational, I think recreational will be bigger than medical at the end of the day. But for the next couple of years, the world's going to be consumed with medical this or medical that.
Yeah, that'll open the door for the other side.
Sure. Talk about Biome Grow. What do you guys, for we picked up some new affiliates for people that haven't heard your story and people that have heard this story and want an update. Give us sort of an overview and then tell us what you guys are up to right now.
Sure. In a previous life, we've helped build some of the largest cannabis companies in the world, primarily Canadian-based, but also international platforms. We launched Biome Grow a couple of years ago. We thought we could do it better, a more efficient platform. So far, what you see on our website and in our sort of publications is our Canadian footprint, which is fine. I mean, but at the end of the day, Canada only has 36 million people. What you're going to see from us as the summer unfolds is what we're doing overseas, where the real magic and prize is, where you've got billions of people. And that'll unroll, and we'll go from being a small, sort of interesting niche player in Canada or North America to being one of the largest platforms on the planet in terms of production capacity. So stay tuned on that front. So medical overseas and recreational North America.
Am I like reading that 3 million square feet, or is it 300,000 square feet under development? What does that mean specifically?
Well, that simply means it's square footage or production footprint of our internal indoor grows in Canada.
Wow.
Some of that's still under construction, some of that's up and running. You know, that's a small drop in the bucket in terms of what the acreages and hectares are going to be doing overseas.
You know what I like last time you were on? You talked about each, the name of each brand is kind of specific to each region. You've got the by the lake, by the mountain, by the sea, whatever.
I mean, which makes me ask you, just as a CEO of a company in that vertical, how important is it to have heritage branding? Because it's something I don't think anybody's really considered before, is to brand products in this vertical.
I mean, Nova Scotia grown. I want some right now.
Right. I mean, was that the idea behind it? Was typical, you know, advertising and marketing 101 sort of using those principles?
A little bit. I think what it came down to was that we looked at what our competitors were doing when we were creating Biome. And, you know, you can legitimately create brands in a lot of ways. You have countrywide brands. You can have product brands. What we found that it was lacking in terms of building a sort of a competitive advantage is there were no provincial brands or state brands as it would be in the U.S. And that works in certain states and doesn't work in other states. It's a very Canadian sort of strategy for us where we build hyper-local provincial brands. Mm-hmm. So in Atlantic Canada, for example, whether it's Nova Scotia or Newfoundland, locals will go out of their way to buy a local product. Yep. In Ontario, where our corporate headquarters is, nobody cares. We'll buy from China, we'll buy from Ontario, we'll buy from BC. It doesn't matter.
Well, now, what do you attribute that to? I mean, is there a reason?
I think it's just, I think Ontario is more international facing and, and it's more inclined, whereas other parts of the country are more insular. If you look at Newfoundland, for example, it's an island, one of the biggest islands on the planet. And they still consider themselves Newfoundlanders before they consider themselves Canadian.
Oh, I see.
So, so there's that local pride in Nova Scotia to some degree, in New Brunswick and Prince Edward Island to some degree as well. So you know, they'll go over out of their way to support their local communities and local products, which is why we go to the effort of building several smaller facilities in each province instead of one big one, which would be a lot easier to do, to supply the entire area. So that's a very Canadian-focused strategy. For international, it's a whole different animal because the competitive dynamics are very different out there. So you've got to adjust to where you think you stand up.
Yeah, Karam, thank you so much once again. Karam Malik is the CEO of Biome Grow, B-I-O, their stock symbol in Canada, and of course, B-I-O-A-F here in the U.S.
Little Nanaimo nugget.
Well, I love the fact that he is the guy. He really is the expert in the business, and he was the first person to sort of talk to us about the supply and demand issues in cannabis. The fact that, you know, Canada, albeit federally legal, is only the size of, population-wise, the size of California. So, but it's a great lesson to be learned. Thanks so much, Karam. Appreciate that. Coming up, we got some news for you, and then after that, we'll bring up Tom Del Beccaro.
Oh,
the
good.
Of the Divided Area. It's the Big Biz Show. Rusty, Sully, stand by.
Wow. Wait a minute.
Asking the hard-hitting questions you want answers to, but mostly just drifting off and staring blankly at the wall. It's the Big Biz Show with Russ and Sully.
Hey, it's the Big Biz Show, bigbizshow.com.
Uh-huh.
A lot of stuff going on Wall Street today. So we hit an intraday all-time high as Morgan Stanley and Chase, Wells Fargo all reported earnings today.
How'd they do? Wells Fargo.
It was mixed. And by the way, banking stocks are a leading indicator on how the economy's doing. So you had two good, one okay. And what that means is because if banks are doing good, we're doing good, right? Because how do banks make money?
Off of my $10 a month over.
Well, more than that, BS? Charging interest and such like that. So that's what's happening. Let's take a look at the numbers, shall we?
Oh, favorite part of the show,
down
Bob.
There.
There's
because
the Dow
Jones, NASDAQ, S&P, all relatively even today. That would represent right there a 0.07%, 0.7% drop.
I never know how to do that.
Same thing with the NASDAQ. That's a 0.5% drop-ish. And then the S&P, 0.4% drop.
Steady as she goes. Captain.
Steady as she goes, yeah. If you take a look at the charts of the Dow, this is pretty even. And what you're seeing here now is consolidation. Look down at the very bottom squiggly line. That is a stochastic oscillator. We want that close to a 50. We're a little bit overbought right here because we're at all-time highs. Look at the NASDAQ, if you would, guys, if you can toggle over to the NASDAQ.
Which one's
same
that?
Type of thing, okay? Everything's very strong, but we're at all-time highs everywhere. S&P, same thing.
Is everything a little expensive by my reading of the
that's exactly
stochastic?
Right. So we're going to need to go sideways here. We need a little back and fill that's going to make us feel a little bit better. But that's what's going on with the markets today. Feeling okay about all this stuff. And I can tell you that this is something that you should probably take a close look at with respect to your portfolio. Because after this month, we really start, you know, the selling may go away.
Yeah.
Which hasn't really happened. Could feasibly happen coming up here. So we'll see what goes on there.
Well, I'm pulling some money out of my Roth because I'm old enough.
And you don't have to pay taxes on this.
It's tax-free, and I got a wedding to pay for. So,
damn. What do you mean, damn?
I hate paying for anything.
Well, we know that.
It's a wedding. I mean, you can go down the courthouse and go, are you married? You want to love each other? Get the hell out of here. Boom, boom. $10.
How much is this wedding going to cost you?
It'll be upwards of the... This hurts to... Hold on. Can we just do graphics? $10,000 right there? Just $10,000?
So the cheapest wedding of all time.
Cheapest of all time.
And
outdoors.
$10,000
in winter.
Is the cheapest wedding you could ever have. Now, do you have to throw another one when Allie, or when...
the other kid?
Bree gets married?
That's why I'm setting the bar low. I was going to give 20 if I only had one, but now I got two. So I split it up. So that's what I... I'm happy to do it. But God dang, I hate buying stuff. Anything. Flowers. Who the hell needs flowers?
I'll pay for 2% of it.
There's a pine tree right there. Just put ribbon on it. I don't know. It's like a... Anyway, right. Congratulations to my child.
All right, very good.
My firstborn daughter.
Can we have time for some news here? Do we have time for news? Okay, I got some
news. I
got
good news.
What is your news?
I don't know. Try to segue easy, just keep talking. You were supposed to shut up and say what?
So, Chris, are you a Star Wars geek or a Star Trek geek? Star Wars. What about you, Curtis? See Star Wars? Does it matter? I know you guys.
He goes both ways.
Is the Enterprise Star Wars or Star Trek? Trek.
Trek. That's the Vulcan guy with the ears?
Yeah.
All right, got it.
Well,
what?
A prototype of a Star Wars action figure.
Okay.
Just sold for $113,000. The reason I'm bringing this up is Comic-Con starts this week here in the city of San
Probably
Diego.
What? Wow, I'll look around. What do I got?
It is a 3.75-inch, tell me if I'm saying this right,
Wookie?
Boba Fett? Boba Fett.
Oh, sure. Played by...
Boba Fett figure. 3 points. You said Boba Fett? 3.75-inch Boba Fett figure, which never made it to toy stores.
What is it?
It was put on display in the 1979 New York Toy Fair, but it was never mass-produced because it shot a little plastic rocket. It was deemed possible safety hazard for children.
Oh, because kids could swallow and choke on it.
Do you remember when we had the rockets that you pumped water into?
Hell yeah.
Your eye was right here as you're pumping in the water.
Right.
And then all of a sudden,
burning out a fuse up there alone. I got it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what was going on.
We had lawn darts, too, by the way.
I'm just going to say, can you see the picture of this, Jared? Have you pulled that up?
What are they called? Bobos?
I'm just going to give you I'm going to see if I can do a cut and paste and stuff. Because you got to see the picture. I'm just saying, the rocket, I don't think this is the reason it didn't make it.
Aren't those the, what was it?
I think the rocket's the reason it didn't make it.
Right.
But I don't think it's why you think it's the same reason it didn't make it. Okay. You follow what I'm saying?
No.
Well, I think it's because of the rocket,
but
not because it was going to hurt you.
Was it a... Okay.
I'm just going to say.
Is it the pouch?
Yeah, I just think it's the rocket itself has a problem.
Why? What's the problem?
No? Yeah, doesn't you have a song called Rocket in Your Pocket, Russ?
Oh, that rocket.
Oh, my God.
You know what they say. Look at any projectile.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Let's go under the wings of a B-52 bomber and see what's hanging there.
I'm just saying.
You're gonna
I'm just
find
saying
a
the rocket
ship.
Was a little... You know.
Yeah, that's a red glare, all right.
All right.
Woo!
All
right.
I'm just saying. What else do I have here?
You definitely could hurt a child.
Americans will spend $26 billion on streaming services this year.
Golly.
You know what streaming services are, don't you? Netflix, Hulu, YouTube Go... YTA Club.
Over the
Biz
OTT,
VOD.
Is that what they call it?
OTT.
Yeah. Over the top.
Over the OTT is double OTT.
Okay.
OTOTT.
Yeah. It's okay. like a soccer game.
Over the OTT.
Just keeps going and running and kicking.
Remember when the internet was first taken off, there were illegal torrents of everything, and it seemed like a matter of time before, no one would have to pay for music. Remember Napster?
Yes.
So we were on the air on AM 1130 KSDO, which doesn't exist anymore.
I hated it.
And we, on the breaks, discovered this thing called Napster. And we'd go, hey, what's the bumper music you want to use? So you go, let's get this song.
Yeah.
And you get any song you wanted. And we'd play it over there. As well, 2 months later, it was found highly illegal.
I always thought that was
a song ripoff.
I thought it was wrong because how does an artist make money? You can't just go through, just one guy buys it, everybody shares it.
Well, that's how it worked.
Well, that's...
No, it didn't. Well, actually, it didn't work.
Right.
But it was called a peer-to-peer type thing. So
how
much of that music, since we're always hearing about how much music business is how many of those guys are barely scraping by?
Who's that?
Musicians.
The artists?
Yeah.
Most?
They're not... Well, no. Not that are selling music.
It's like actors. I mean, there's a bunch,
But those actors are not... I'm talking about the people that you would want to take their music off of Napster.
Yeah, yeah.
How many of those guys are scraping by?
I'd say...
None.
What?
None. First of all.
They don't all have jets and bitch and life, rock and roll
style.
All
the music that you want to have has jets and bitch and lifestyle.
Yeah, for a while. And then you're like, who the hell
are
you?
But you're not going to grab music from someone who doesn't have that kind of success.
Well,
that's my point.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway.
I say no.
Thanks to the success of Apple Music, Spotify, domestic music streaming revenue now is $8.4 billion this year.
I say there's a lot of
musicians. That's music streaming. That's not individual sales. That's
right. But there's a lot of little guys, like my kid's band. You're selling, five or ten.
But nobody's downloading this crap. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't live that life. So, but, there's.
Yeah. But he's making something.
But the crap that's, Air Supply is putting out there, people are stealing it. Mm-hmm. They still have jets? And by the way,
G5.
Did I tell you that we're going to go going on tour with KC and the Sunshine Band? I think it's now called KFC and the Sunshine Band. Have you seen the guy? Thank you, everybody. He is a taco shy of a combination.
That's a good
there.
One.
Thank you, pal.
All right, Colonel.
Tom Double Carl. I was just here a second. Colonel and the Sunshine.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
segment. What do you think the teacher's going to look like this year?
You're born broke and you die broke. They're trying not to take the in-between part too seriously. It's Sully and Russ on the Big Biz Show.
Hey there, Big Biz Show, BigBizShow.com. Great to have you along today. Lots of stuff happening in the news. Doot, 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 doot.
What is that noise?
Well, that's my new news ticker, apparently. Although Curtis saved the freaking machine.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, we lost some of our heritage stuff.
That one and the violin, the harp. Is the harp gone?
Harp, dream, yeah, the dream
yeah,
thing, yeah.
Goodbye, everybody.
Yeah, that one's gone. The dream one's now this. The dream
right,
genie,
like,
you know? That's now this.
And that's wrong.
Hey, listen, I think he did a great job. He saved most of it.
Yeah, well. That's
save
a car
that
starting.
Save that one. Save that one. Save that one. Save that one. This is an important one.
I like that one. Oh, that's my
save
favorite,
that
too. Yeah.
There's only two that I missed.
You had a lot of traffic noise here.
There's only two that I missed.
Yeah.
The two that I miss are the cool, the girl saying cool,
mm-hmm.
and the dream, the harp.
Oh, and the cool Porter.
The dream. Oh, get the cool Porter. Is Cole Porter
get
gone, too?
Get the cool Porter out.
I tried looking for it.
It's going to be a...
What is it?
I talked to Tom Del Beccaro the other day.
What movie?
You know, he's such a nice guy on the air, but off the air.
Oh, so
I'm tired of this.
Right.
I'm sick and tired of it.
We left the mics open when he was
I'm fucking tired of losing to Purdue.
Could you imagine if Donald Trump... See, do you realize he has gone under fire? When he ran for president, you must have known he was going to be under fire.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? Because he makes a brand out of being not liked. That's his sort of his brand,
love
and he sort
him
of likes that.
Love him for that.
So what's interesting is I think he's sort of sitting back and watching things implode on the Democratic Party.
Oh, that part, yeah.
I mean, I just think he's going to look at, and you know, and he's getting more brazen with his... With his comments.
Statements? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, he's really, like, pushing them now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's taking
mm-hmm.
these girls to task. And he's
boy, they came firing back, the mod squad there.
Yeah. And then he said, well, then stay in the country if you want. Just don't be a hater.
AOC in three.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Tom Del Beccaro joins us. Tom, is the Democratic Party imploding? I think this is good for Donald Trump, what's happening here, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Well, short term, it's not particularly good. He'll take a hit in the polls. But he did place them, that squad, at the center of attention. And there's no question, the more they're on TV, the worse the Democrats do. So the Democrats are in a civil war. You can't have 20% of the party for Bernie Sanders and try and hold on to Congress. And that's the fight. And now when you throw Tom Steyer in the middle of it, Tom Steyer is going to drag the party farther left. He's going to focus on impeachment. He's going to be running TV ads on that kind of thing. None of the congressional candidates want to hear that because that all polls badly for them. So they're in a civil war. I never say, look, neither party's going anywhere. It will ebb and flow. But this Democrat civil war is going to take a toll on them for next year, to be sure.
And when you say civil war, do you mean a potential implosion in the Democratic Party running for president, or are you talking about just the party in general?
I'm talking the next election could be very bad for them because if they push impeachment and stick on Russia and new green deals, and there's that staggering figure of the end of May, the 260 Democrats that are interested or filed for running for Congress, 40% of them are taking on incumbent Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing dries up their money. They go broke defending their own seat from their own in the primary. Those are all bad things. You can make the case for the Democrats failing on Russia, that's already occurring. Then you have this civil war. And then when the IG comes out in some indictments, things look really bad for them. And then the two anti-establishment candidates will be Tom Steyer and Bernie Sanders. And that will drag the party too far to the left, mm-hmm. and they'll lose congressional seats. That's all possible. I think it's above 50% at this point for the Democrats to lose the House.
Really?
Oh, boy.
So you wrote a great piece. I should say, has this piece come out yet, by the way?
It has not.
Okay, so I won't. But you did say something on the air last week.
Okay.
That I can bring up again because I've used it and I've given you credit. That, and I think he actually brought it up on the Kogo show here in Southern California as well. And if you ever want to listen to that show, just go to iHeartRadio and type in KOGO and you can listen. And Tom's on quite frequently. But he said something about the market that I thought was really interesting. I've never heard anyone say this so far during these last couple years of rallies, and of course most recently, the fact that this market may have taken Donald Trump's reelection into consideration already. Now, I've talked a million times about buy on the rumor, sell on the news. And of course, the rumor of an interest rate cut this month has driven all three indices this week and last week to fresh highs.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
I'll take it.
That's the rumor. Now, if the news is otherwise, you're going to see the sell on the news happen. Similarly, Tom has brought up the fact that maybe this market, maybe investors have presumed Donald Trump's
in
victory. Talk about that a little bit, Tom. That's really an interesting, and again, I got to give you credit for that because no one has actually spoken about that.
Well, think about the healthcare market in particular. The Democrats' proposals, all but Biden's, and we'll see whether Biden can hold on to his proposal. The person who raised, I think, third most money is Elizabeth Warren, and Sanders was second. And they all propose the elimination of the private health insurance market.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, that's a huge part of the Dow Jones or the S&P, right? These are big insurers. Anthem is a huge company. United Healthcare, a huge company. Yet their stock has gone up significantly in the last 60 days. And the healthcare indices for both the S&P and for the Dow have risen 6% year over year. Now, that's maybe not as high as some others, but 6% used to be a good return, yep. Did it not?
Yes.
And so, especially in a low inflation environment. And so why are these health stocks doing so well in the face of an existential event, which is a termination event, where the Democrats are saying we're going to get rid of healthcare? Those investors, are they saying they're not going to win, or those proposals don't have a shot? I think it's a little of both.
Well, and if you think in terms of the ebb and the flow of what's going on with the markets, starting off with the trade wars most recently, and I say wars because the China trade war, obviously, look at a chart. Bring up a chart of the Dow, would you guys? The trade wars were specifically the reason you saw the dip in the last 6 weeks.
Right.
And the trade wars are specifically the reason, guys, we have that.
And Mexico, too, our little war.
But the trade wars are also the exact reason that you show. Is this not at our fingertips?
Yep.
And beyond that, you have the Democrats saying that they will not support the modification to NAFTA so far. And yet the market's still in pretty decent shape.
Right. So look at the rise here. Look at the rise here that happened going up into February and into March and into April. Okay. Then all of a sudden, beginning of May, trade war talks come in. Bam. That's the reason. And then you see the rally again. That's the trade wars again. I mean, this.
And the rate cut.
And the impending rate cut. Well, of course. And look, this is what's interesting about this is that this mimics sort of Alan Greenspan, mimics Ben Bernanke, mimics Janet Yellen, where they are dialing in these markets based upon their actions. So Ben Bernanke. Yeah. Would lower interest rates and you'd see an inverse relationship with the stock market. Alan Greenspan, okay? Ben Bernanke, quantitative easing. He would threaten to stop the money flow of printing your own money to buy your own securities.
Oops.
There'd be an inverse relationship with that. Actually, there'd be a similar relationship. So if he said he was going to cut off the money supply, the market would go down. Janet Yellen would just threaten an interest rate cut. Didn't even have to do it.
Yeah, she was scary.
And the market would play her. And now Jerome Powell, very similar to Janet Yellen, but I think it's back to the Alan Greenspan days. And what you're seeing here,
when they speak, people listen.
Well, what you're seeing is a lot of noise in the market. Look, earnings came out this week, and they're continuing to come out this week, and you're going to see, the banking stocks, for example, were mixed, and banking is a very good leading indicator of how the overall economy is doing. Hmm. Well, if you think in terms of what has gone on so far with how we are doing on earnings, you know, the Netflix is killing it.
Yeah.
eBay's killing it. Amazon is killing it. Facebook stock's going up.
How about those other
all of those consumerite type things are working. So
how about
look
the caterpillars of the world.
Well, we can take a look.
Those
things started when the recovery happened. Those things were the first things that sort of came back. So what you're seeing here is, you know, the stock market is not the economy, but if the stock market is an indicator, which it is, and the economy is based on consumer spending, 70% of our economy is based on consumer spending, one could surmise that because of the way the stocks are going up and where they're going up, the economy's killing it and will continue to kill it. And I would predict that wages are going to catch up with everything towards the end of this year and towards 2020. So my question for Tom, when we come back from the break, is will we have yet another sideways year, as he has always correctly predicted, during an election year?
Wow,
I'm going to say the market's going to go up either way.
Stand by. What's going to look like this year?
They voted Ben Bernanke sexiest Fed chairman ever. It's Sully and Russ on the Big Biz Show.
Hey, it's the Big Biz Show. Big Biz Show.
That's some DNA on it.
Thank you. Big week for San Diego. Comic-Con starts. $700 million in economic impact. That's a Super Bowl every year.
That's
the equivalent of the entire craft beer industry in San Diego.
Yeah.
The Pride weekend was last weekend. Another big, big weekend for San Diego. And then, of course, tomorrow is the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club.
Oh, it's so fun that day.
Of course, you'll see. You know, what I love, Russ, is when you talk about
those majestic creatures that flood the area of the Del Mar racetrack. The reason most
the athleticism,
people go,
the
muscle tone,
the curvature of the
rear sides of these incredible beasts that really catch the eye of everyone in the
it is something to behold.
Those are some of the best looking women that ever show up for an event.
And then there's the horse.
And then there's some horses too.
Tom, have you ever been to the Del Mar racetrack?
Yeah.
No, but I often stay in Del Mar. I know it's right nearby. So does that count?
It is a target rich. It's a target rich environment. Let's just call it that.
See you at Red Tractor tomorrow.
You know, Russ.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I am glad that Rusty went on a shopping trip. Can I say that out loud?
Yes. No, let's talk about exactly what happened.
Come on.
Nails, why are you wearing a different jacket today?
Oh man, I busted off a button. My red jacket. I had to put this
on. Is this a real jacket?
I don't know if you've seen this, but it comes right off. I'm thinking of bringing
them
back.
That is unbelievable.
Huh?
Snap on top. I was so close to believing in you.
What would happen if you showed up in court, Tom?
With a
clip on, and then it came off somehow.
Would you
lose credibility with the judge, the jury,
hold on,
the other side, or
or myself?
Or see Russ's pocket square?
It's not a pocket square. It's just a piece of
a
blue
magazine
that I think looked good.
It works on TV, though.
I know it. It's the
TV.
Magic.
He shows up at events. We were at a huge event in Rancho Santa Fe together, a movie event, and Russ has got a white index card in his pocket.
That's all you need, baby.
And people are like, oh, that's great. Oh, that's a great idea.
Huh?
They're like, yeah, because it looked like it was perfectly folded.
It does. It is perfectly folded.
And, look, you know, the colors, you know, I got to admit, that's actually good.
You just, I'm in the waiting room. I'm just looking through magazines. Oh, this is good. I folded
every
up.
Once in a while, you see Russ with one of the, like a Post-it note. The Post-it yellow
is a
fantastic
look. This is
a
Lord Russell. You two talk about money some more. I'm busy.
So Tom, I know, right? I know. I would just like to see Rusty sit at the table next to you.
What table?
In a courtroom. Just to be the guy with pad.
Can I do it with you?
You know, the legal pad? Just because
you look legitimate.
He looks legit.
You know what passing the bar means? The bar is the bar that separates the audience and the tables, and non-attorneys and non-parties.
Okay.
Or non-attorneys cannot pass the bar unless you're a witness.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. So you'd get in trouble.
Oh.
He'd get in trouble.
I've witnessed some stuff.
By the way, can I ask you this? I've asked this of other attorneys on the air. When you go to law school, do they teach you anything about being a lawyer? Because lawyering is one thing. But which I don't even know if that's a word. But going to law school is one thing, and lawyering is another thing. Yeah. Isn't that accurate?
There is probably 90% of law school is about either teaching you the law or how to think, and only about 10% is about the business or practical application.
Yeah. How do you learn that part? It's like how do kids learn how to balance a checkbook, right? Mm-hmm. Should they spend more time on that, in your opinion?
I wish I did, honestly. I mean, there's a couple of courses that I wish I would have taken. But there is particular couple of courses that I did, which were very beneficial. I don't have any regrets about the past, other than the fact that I have a red jacket now and I'm in
Hey, let's talk about the market, because you pointed out last year we had one of the most tumultuous years in politics because of the midterm elections. And, of course, if you guys can give us a five-year look at the Dow with a chart, you'll see that the Dow Jones has gone sideways during every election year. Do you anticipate the same thing next year? You think it'll be a different story because the economy's stronger?
So the theory, my working theory on this, and it's borne out by each elections from 2010 to 2018, is that because government is growing so large and presents such uncertainty at election time as to where the pendulum will swing regulatory-wise or tax-wise and the like, then you have sideway years in elections, mm-hmm. usually starting March and April. The Dow will trade within the same range, 3 or 4 or 5%
sure.
difference from March to election day. And then usually afterwards, it will rise. Although I thought 2015 was a difficult year, if I'm remembering as
sure.
well. So the question is, will we have uncertainty next year, so much uncertainty as to policy, that investors between somewhere after the first of the year and November would be being cautious and the Dow won't move in a particular direction up or down? And as I sit here today, I still believe it's going to be a close election.
Mm-hmm. Do you really?
And because the House is going to be up in the air, remember, it would be if all the investors sat around a table and said, what if we just didn't have an election next year mm-hmm. and just can't keep the same group of characters? From a business point of view, that wouldn't be so bad because there wouldn't be significant change in policy.
Sure.
They're just getting used to the existing rules.
Yeah.
And then they would go with it. But if the Republicans took the House back, I think that would be a good thing. But if the Democrats somehow won the presidency, then it would be a very difficult thing if they came in and were able to, they started a regulatory war again, like we had with Obama and the war on coal or whatever else they're going to pick. Mm-hmm. So I do think it's unlikely, given the past five cycles, 2010, 12, 14, 16, and 18, that we will have a big plus side next year. I think that is unlikely unless the Democrats, as you describe it, implode.
All right. Tom DelVaccaro, The Divided Era, politicalvanguard.com. Look for his latest piece at foxbusiness.com, foxnews.com, and of course, politicalvanguard.com. He's got the latest stuff out there. All right. That does it for us today. Oh, look, that's a good one. You should wear that tomorrow to the races.
Ready? Here it is.
You
ready?
Should wear that to the races.
Wait
tomorrow.
Close up.
Look at that.
Big money.
Big money. You should wear that to the races tomorrow as your pocket square. Chris Janikas, our director.
Totally going
to
do that.
Jared Coleman, our assistant director. Curtis Madovich, our floor director, our floor cameraman, our editor, our composer, our keeper of keys, and from whom all blessings flow. Rusty Nails, RustysFunny.com, because
RustysFatAndBald.com was taken.
I'm Sully. Catch me over at Sully's. See you tomorrow.
Let's get it.